We're going to look at prayer. Grab your outline, please. Let's look at this together. Last time, we're going to be looking at James for a little while, I think. Get into Advent next week. It's a really nice topic we're going to end on, one of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would bless us in our prayer life. That you'd help us to be, Lord, just so not only blessed by prayer, but Lord, may it just help us to enter into such a more meaningful relationship with you and with others as we pray for others and see you answer. Work all good qualities in us through it, Lord. Patience, joy, endurance, all things, Lord. We just lift this into your hands and ask you work in your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the word prayer, this passage that you have here from your outlines mentioned 7 times, it's the main focus, it's what he wants to draw to our attention. And James is somebody that knew a lot about prayer. James had a nickname. I don't know if some of this is true, but you see it in different articles and stuff like this. Do you ever hear him called Old Camel Knees? That's apparently what one of the people, you know, what they would call him, because, of course, it was because he prayed so much, right? And he's on his knees so much that he had, you know, knees like a camel. He does know what he's talking about. He lists a couple different things in here that are going to really help us as far as prayer. And prayer is just a really awesome privilege that we have. And when we pray, it's good to know what we should pray for. What should we pray for? And he lists 3 different things. You put them in your outline, the 3 different things that James brings out, 3 distinct, very different things that he encourages us to pray for. And the first one that he mentions when he's talking about prayer, he uses the word in that very first verse there. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Well, now a hardship, what he's talking about there is a word that means to suffer misfortune. To suffer misfortune. So think about that for just a moment. There could be a whole variety of ways that you could suffer misfortune. It's not necessarily something really bad. It could be something that just is really bumming you out. You could be having a really good day and then it could be going really bad. I know it's great during the holidays. Is anybody feeling the busyness yet with all the holidays? Anybody feel behind yet? I mean, it's kind of strange, isn't it? It's just, we get all of this stuff. And I heard people, as I mentioned earlier, there are people sending out their Christmas cards already, you know, and we're like, yeah, we need to. I think we ordered ours. So anyway, we're doing good. But you know, we do have our list. And it's, isn't it exciting, really, as I was saying, to get gifts for people and to have that? It's kind of an exciting time. But there is a lot of stress. And sometimes getting together with our family, that can be really stressful. That, you know, because there's a lot of preparations, there's a lot of things that go into that, and all of these things kind of come together to cause us some internal tensions. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the sort of internal tensions that we have. Stresses, big, small, doesn't matter what it is. And he says, when you sense that, pray. That's a time when you should pray. And you should just talk to God about it. One thing you don't see in this is that the verse right before this talks about swearing. And I thought that was pretty cool because most people, and I know how tempted we are when it doesn't go right, we are tempted to swear. And it's very interesting to me because people will ask God to damn things. And it appears that sometimes when they do ask him to do that, he already has. Because they're looking at what happened, they're not really very happy about it. And so, you know, we sometimes think that way, and rather than swear, should be prayer, is what James is saying. So he's very practical about it, because he knows our tendency is to get upset, and is to swear. And I realize we could just start, you know, preaching the law and just, you know, come at it from that angle. James goes a little bit deeper than that. He's talking about, hey, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it if you feel it boiling up inside of you. That's a good time to take. I like your card, Carol, that you had about the kid in the timeout. I think adults, we need timeouts sometimes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially when we're under pressure and when we feel this. So this is what James is talking about, a normal thing that happens within us. We should pray. Get in the habit of praying. Get in the habit of praying somehow. Wouldn't it be great, and it probably is on your phone, if you could have an app that would tell you when your blood pressure's going up and when you're getting all tense and you're getting all worried, you know, and it kind of goes off and you're like, oh, it's prayer time, you know. Yep. That'd be good. It's probably out there too. You can email me this week if you found that. So right after that, he says, if you're happy, rejoice. Now, isn't that true? Check it out, because he's saying it's like up and down like that, and life is like that, isn't it? You can have really good days, everything can be going really good, and that it can just, boom, just dump on you in a minute. I mean, just a second, it can change that fast. And you can be feeling really good, and then you can be exposed to some things that is just takes you down to the floor. And it is really amazing how fast that change can happen. And it doesn't mean that we're sick. It doesn't mean that. It means that we're human. It means life is life. I mean, it just happens. And, you know, so I like what James does here. He talks about swearing. He talks about prayer instead. And then he says, you know, hey, if you're happy, rejoice. But you got to know it's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be good days. It's going to be bad days. Don't let it define you. Don't let it define you. God is bigger than all this. And His love for you and His care for you in Christ is bigger than all this. So when you are in trouble, is a good time to pray. When you're physically hurting, that's the next thing he mentioned. When you're hurting physically, he says in verse 14, are any of you sick? Now that word for sickness actually in Greek is weakness, but it's more than just weakness. It's used to describe somebody who is really, really weak from sickness. This is the word that described Lazarus, and he passed away. This is the word that described Dorcas in the book of Acts, and Dorcas died. It means it's a really serious sickness that you could be exposed to and have to deal with. And I know we have different levels of sickness. Sickness, as a rule, is a pain, isn't it? Anybody dealing with a cold or issue right now? For some reason, like for the last couple of weeks, we're feeling really better now. But Jill and I were just bombed with stuff. I don't know whether it's just contact or maybe you guys have times and periods like that, you know, where you just deal with it and it's really difficult. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to pray. And just be patient and let God answer. Let me just share, because since we're talking about praying for healing here, and James is a realist, he thinks that God still heals nowadays, and He does. I can give you thousands of testimonies that God will heal from anything and everything. He does. He is a healer, and He's healing now. But James is a realist at the same time. It doesn't always happen. And so let me just share with you, there's three ways. I'll invite you to note these. There's three ways that sickness can happen. Three ways that sickness seems to be used in the Bible. One of them is for correction. Yes, it does happen. It does happen. There have been times in my life, you know, where I've just been too busy or whatever. And you ever have this happen where God just lays you flat on your back and you get time for a little bit of rest and you really need that? There's also severe times like the Corinthians where they were gathering together for a fellowship meal. They were trying to have communion as part of that fellowship meal. Some of them were taking food and eating all the food, so some people were not getting any food. Others were taking all the wine and they were getting drunk. So they were just partying big time. And some of them started getting sick, and the Apostle Paul said, hey, you know, you're desecrating Holy Communion. That's why some of you guys are getting sick. So it does happen. But one thing about this that we would not get confused, because this is an important issue, because some people wonder, does God judge people like this? And it's really important that if this happens, God, I've seen, and I see in the Bible, God makes it very clear to you. So don't think that when you get sick, or if one of your relatives got sick with cancer or any horrible thing, that they're being judged by God. It does not work like that. The reason why I know it doesn't work like that is because of the cross. God is not intent or needing to judge us because He judged Jesus Christ in our place. And we are children of God, and He will correct us and He will guide us. He is not interested in beating on any of us. He beat on Jesus Christ instead. And so it is in His love and His care for us, just as a loving parent would want to guide us in the right direction. And he will use that at times. But it is in love. He's not going to like not hear your prayers less or anything. That's not how it works. The other thing as far as sickness is a reality, one of the ways in which we leave this world. There is sickness for death. It's true. It's sad, but it's true. I take encouragement in this way, is that your life in heaven is going to be way better than it is here. And you've not even scratched the surface of what God has for you. Do you believe that? God has like a beautiful job for you to do, a beautiful place for you to live, a beautiful environment for you to be in. If this world looks like this and it has sin and destruction and pain and suffering, what's it going to look like if God removes all that but is still present? This is intense. And God's given you a personal invitation to be part of what He's planned personally for you. And death is one of the ways, sickness is one of the ways that He's ordained to take us out of this world to what He has planned. So again, we should not feel bad. You know, sometimes we feel really bad if someone gets cancer and we think, oh, you know, they did this or they did that and that's why they got it. Or we feel bad, we just should have helped them a little bit more and they wouldn't have got sick and they wouldn't have died. It's a lot bigger picture than that. It's a lot bigger picture than that. And God doesn't want us to have guilt and worry. It's one of the things. The other thing that sickness is used for is for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. It can happen at times. A great example of that is in John chapter 11, in verse 4, there was a man who was ill and he was blind. And the disciples came to him and they said, Lord, who has sinned, him or his parents, that he should be blind? And the Lord said, nobody sinned. He said that this sickness is for the glory of God. And then he healed the guy and brought glory to God. So these are the times that God just takes the sickness, triumphs over it, and you know that God is moving because it will give praise and glory to Jesus Christ. That's how you know. Because when you see a real healing is one where the person has been healed and they give the praise and they give the glory to Jesus Christ, not to anything else. And God does these things from time to time. It is just an awesome, beautiful thing. So in sickness, that's when we should pray. We should pray. We should ask God to heal us. And ask Him to take away these nasty colds that we get from time to time. That's really good. And then also when you're troubled inside. But also, more importantly, James talks about this, when you're spiritually hurting. When you are hurting spiritually. James encourages us to pray for spiritual healing. James wants us to pray for spiritual healing. This is really important. And that's why he talks about confession, so that I can talk to you just straight up and say exactly what I did wrong. I'm sorry. And to be able to have that honesty and to be able to share like that is one of the most healing yet revealing things we can ever do as human beings. And it is so powerful, because if you've ever done that and you have somebody really angry at you or upset at you, it just melts the room. It is just such a powerful thing to do. And that's what James is talking about, this wonderful spiritual healing that can happen. And that's why he equates it with the confession of sins. You see, guilt and grace are almost mutually exclusive. Guilt and grace don't work well together. When you feel guilty about something you've done to somebody else, grace is generally not in the picture. Other things are, like fear and avoidance and anger and bitterness. And guilt really blocks God's grace. It blocks its ability to come in and give you the strength and the love and the encouragement and the peace that you need to deal with the situation. We don't always see it like this. And this is why prayer is so important, because as we pray, God's able to reveal this to us. He's able to help us and help us to bring us to a greater awareness of spiritual healing and just have a deeper, relationship of love. We were talking about in the Bible class, it is just all about love. All about love. And growing in that. And growing with love one for another. I'm going to fail you. It's a reality. I'm going to fail my kids. I'm going to fail my wife. I mean, this is a reality of us in our human existence. And for us to confess and for us to share and for us to receive and want the spiritual healing more than the payback, more than the vengeance, more than anything else we could possibly get is what he's encouraging us to pray for. It's a powerful one. It really is. Very free. So, who can pray? James says you don't have to be somebody special to pray. And then he says in the very beginning, he says in verse 17 there, he mentions Elijah. And I don't know about you, but at that point I kind of check out. Because I'm not Elijah. There's no way. I mean, the things that Elijah did, I'm like, what? You know, and then I really don't take seriously then what comes next. It says, human just as we are. We have to kind of delve into that a little bit more to understand what James is talking about. If we just look at it at the surface, we won't understand it. And what will happen is we won't really get the meaning out of it that he wants us to have. Think about the Old Testament lesson that we had. How many times did he pray? 7 times. He had to pray 7 times. He just did not get the answer immediately. And furthermore, when he's praying, he's having to really just give his heart and mind into this. And it takes a certain amount of perseverance, and it didn't come right away. It wasn't magical. God just didn't completely answer at the moment that he said it. And there is a certain perseverance, there's a certain diligence that we need to be praying for things. I was saying that we're praying for one person. So many of us have been doing this, I know. You're praying for one person, 1 minute a day, and I pray after Thanksgiving. Now you just keep doing that. That would be great. See some answers to that, but we got to keep praying. We just got to keep persevering. But even more importantly with Elijah, which I think is really important, and you don't see it in this text, but if you go on reading in Kings, and you go on reading in chapter 18 and further, you'll see what happens is Elijah has this wonderful, incredible encounter. And we usually look at that stuff and say, wow, you know, look what a great man of God he is. He ran into these prophets of Baal, and when he encountered the prophets of Baal, he had great victory over them. And he thought a revival was going to come back to Israel. They had completely fallen away from God. Didn't follow God anymore. They worshipped idols. They didn't even go to the temple anymore. It really had nothing to do with the God of Israel, for the most part. But yet he thought with this victory, all the revival is going to happen again and they're all returned to God. And what happened was the exact opposite. After that event, one lady, King Ahab's mentioned in here, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, made a promise when she heard that. She said, by the end of the day, I'm going to have this guy's head. And Elijah lost it. He absolutely lost it. What happened is he ran away and he had a fit of depression and he sank down into a deep case of anxiety. He asked the Lord to take his life. He didn't want to live anymore. He was completely fed up. He couldn't see any point for any reason for him to minister anymore. And he had just completely gone to the absolute rock bottom. And I think what James is really trying to bring out is that this guy, Elijah, is just like us. He's absolutely no different. He's absolutely no different. He has the same emotions, the same failures, the same difficulties, the same trials. He prayed. He just prayed and God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer. God was faithful to his prayers. And I was trying to think of an example. You know, I was thinking of a way to express this. Like, how would this make sense to me? And how would this make sense to you guys and to us as a church, because praying is such a big thing. And I thought about flowers. I know there aren't a whole lot of flowers around right now. They're kind of all gone. There's some beautiful flowers out front still kind of hanging in there, you know, these mums. If anybody's got a witch hazel tree, ours is flowering right now. It's really cool in the winter. They flower with these beautiful yellow flowers on them, you know, and it's like, wow, this is really awesome. But I was thinking this, is prayer seems to be a seed that we sow. We sow in our heart. There are things that we're praying for that we want to see happen, and we sow them in our lives. And we take that seed and we sow that, and then that seed grows. Now, that is going to grow into a big flower, and that flower as it grows is the thing that you're praying for. And you can picture on the petals of that flower all the things that you're praying for. You're praying for this person to be this, this situation to be that. This is your hope. And as you plant that, there are times that you just have to continue at it. You have to continue with the hope that it's going to grow. And it made me think, what are you and I sowing in our hearts? What are we praying for? What are we sowing in our hearts when it comes to prayer? James gave us three areas that we can pray. What are we sowing in our hearts? And then we're called to be patient as we watch this to grow. And if we plant right now, we're going to have to wait till spring or maybe early summer to see the results of that. But will it grow? You see the faith? That's in God's hands. God's able to do that. And so whatever it is, what your burden is right now, let's go through the three things. What your affliction is right now, sow that seed of prayer. Expect a return. What that sickness is, what that spiritual need for healing is, sow that now. As you're coming up to Holy Communion, do that. Tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm praying this. I'm asking for this. Give me a vision. Give me an idea of what you want to do and what you want to work. I think this is the work of the Lord that He is offering us and coming to us in the person of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.